This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Well, hello everybody. This is Hal.
And this is Melanie.
And we want to welcome you to another episode of Making Biblical Family Life Practical.
Now, I know a lot of you are thinking about starting back to school or maybe even have started back to school, but I am still in denial, Hal.
Well, you know, in our state, there's a law that prevents the schools from reconvening really before September 1st, isn't it?
I don't know.
I think it is. Don't you remember all of that Save Our Summers thing?
Actually, a great idea.
Yeah. And
I refuse to think about school before September 1st.
Yeah. See, now we are visiting, we're visiting our family retreat here in South Carolina, and their schools are already in session.
Which is wonderful because nobody is on the lake.
That means that
it's like our own private lake, Hal.
It's like our own private lake, just us and the elderly folk, and we have it. And they're not the ones riding the jet skis.
Yeah, so, it's pretty awesome.
But anyway, it is a time when a lot of people are thinking about school. And, you know, I see on our social media that a lot of homeschoolers are out celebrating. We have started school, and it's a little different with the homeschoolers because, you know, I posted something a while back. One of the big snack food manufacturers had done a promotional campaign about the schools back in session and the parents win. And it had all these parents celebrating that they've kicked the kids off onto the yellow school bus. But, you know, the homeschoolers are a little different. They just say, oh, this is something we're doing together.
And a lot of us do it year-round. You know, we kind of go year-round because there's so much that we have to take off in the spring because of the conferences and stuff where we're speaking.
Right.
That we end up going into the summer. But, you know, I don't like the thought of starting the new school year until after Labor Day.
I'm okay with that.
And especially in a house full of boys.
Well, I mean, this week our boys have been helping me, and frankly the girls and my beloved wife too, have been helping on the family project building a 16-foot canoe.
Yes. And if you're interested in that, go check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/raisingrealmen because out there, Hal's been posting Facebook Live videos and you can watch us making this canoe from plywood. We're talking from scratch.
Mm-hmm. And it's coming together pretty nicely. But
so they've been building a canoe and they've been
spending
swimming.
A lot of time swimming. Yeah.
Yes. And kayaking. And they actually swam like across this giant lake over to an island. Yesterday.
And so, yeah. So, yeah, we're still doing summer stuff. Thank you very much. But we wanted to talk a little bit about homeschooling boys.
Yes.
Because they're different than girls.
Well, boys really are different from girls, Hal. You know, we've been speaking about this a long time, but one thing that hasn't changed is that girls and boys are legitimately different.
Yeah.
They are different in not just the way they look, but in how they learn and the kind of things they like. Now, you know, the thing is, every time you say something like people say, well, not my son.
Or people start saying, well, what about girls? You know?
And the thing is, you know, yeah, there is a very wide range that's normal.
And they overlap.
And they overlap.
And I mean, you grew up watching Star Trek.
Yes.
You know, that's
And I hate chick flicks.
Yeah. But that's fine. That's within the range of normal. And I think God was preparing you to be a mother of many sons.
Yeah. It's kind of weird because I love military fiction and spy fiction and things like that more than you do.
You like it better than I do. But, but any rate on that. But okay. So, you know, mom, you're out planning to homeschool your son and you may have already been homeschooling your older daughter. And it's been a delight being a teacher of such a nice, compliant little young student and the way that she fills out all of the blanks and she just wants to please her teacher and she draws flowers in the margins and everything is pretty and neat and colorful
and
cheerful.
Don't expect that with your boys.
Your boys are not wired the same way.
No, not at all.
They aren't.
Well, just even basic environmental stuff.
Okay.
Girls like their...
You mean like they smell bad?
No. Okay, girls like their learning environment to be warm and nurturing and dimly lit and soft-spoken. And boys go to sleep if you do
boys,
that.
Boys, they go off either asleep or they are daydreaming or something because that is so boring.
Yes.
That is so dull.
Boys like it cool and brightly lit and active and engaging. They want to engage the material. They want to talk about it with you.
Well, it's like I think boys and girls are kind of like dogs and cats. You know, cats like to find a warm spot and cuddle up and be snuggly. And what do the dogs do? The dogs like to hang their head out the window and let the breeze flap their ears and smell everything. I mean, okay, so we're a little different. That's okay. Vive la difference. But, okay, so well, what does that mean from a schooling standpoint, though? I mean, you're going to be homeschooling. I mean, these are all your kids. You have been their teacher all of this time.
But the boy might need a light on his table.
More light.
Yes. He might need to sit next to the air conditioning vent. Mm-hmm. Your daughter might need a lap blanket.
Okay.
You know, you can accommodate these things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one thing is boys need to be active.
Right.
And so, you know, instead of, well, we hear it all the time. Moms say, oh, you know, school goes fine until about 10 o'clock. And then
right. My
son just gets mm-hmm. he's got ants in his pants. He's mm-hmm. wiggle, 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 wiggle. He can't concentrate. Yep.
And then what do you do?
And then the mom will tell me, well, see, I tell him, you know, honey, just focus. We've just got 5 more subjects before lunch.
And that doesn't work, does it?
No, it doesn't work at all.
It doesn't help.
No, because boys are kind of like dogs.
Yeah.
That, you know, you can train a dog to sit still and not eat something that's in front of it, but it's going to take every quivering bit of that dog's brain to do it. And
so when your boys get fidgety, you know what? That's a good time to do a little exercise.
Because otherwise they're going to be spending all their brains sitting still and there's not going to be anything left to learn with.
You know, we had one son who wasn't properly diagnosed until he got off to college, and he went to the learning psychology people or whatever on campus, and they tested him and said, oh my word, we have never met anyone as hyperactive as you are.
Yes, seriously.
He was so ADD, and he got special dispensation to pace back and forth in the back of the classroom, because otherwise he would just go to sleep.
Yeah.
He would doze off straight up.
He had to have a
constant
stream of information going.
Right. And your son, you know, your 8 or 9-year-old son may be the same way. He may need to move around, to get up, to take a break, run some laps,
yes,
do
so
something.
Get up and run up down the stairs 10 times. A mini trampoline has saved us with more than one child. In fact, one of our girls.
Well, she legitimately was hyperactive because of medication she had to be on for a while.
One of those mini trampolines, she would read 10 words and then she'd go jump 100 times and she'd come back and read 10 more words. And so, yeah, something that gets them up and moving. Well, you know, the research shows
right. That
when boys use their big muscle groups, they actually learn better.
Well, okay, now we had a couple of our sons, I know when they got off to college, were demonstrating this because one of them was taking Chinese for his foreign language, and he was having trouble understanding, trouble making it, getting it through all the characters, the Chinese characters, until he got a whiteboard and started, you know, using big motions, using his whole forearm to do the writing rather than just, you know, fingertips and a ballpoint pen. That really helped him. We had another one who was taking engineering calculus, and he found that he was better able to process the information when he wrote it up on a board, walking around, pacing around the room, changing his focus, using bigger muscle groups than when he was just scrawling a bunch of little equations on paper. So that's okay. You can do that.
It's okay for them not to sit up straight with light coming over their left shoulder like we were taught. That's how kids learn.
I know.
You know, your little boy can be listening to you read, sitting upside down on the couch, waving his feet in the air, and learn perfectly well.
You know, try this at home, folks. I mean, if you've got older kids and you've got like a younger boy, maybe he's not ready to start homeschooling yet, just let him play in the room, whatever, and just ask him occasionally, you know, ask him a question from what you've been talking about in school, particularly things like history that have a narrative part, you know, a story. And he'll probably surprise you by how much he actually heard and absorbed when it looked like he was on a different planet.
It's true.
Okay.
And so they love activity. You know what? They love competition, Hal. Boys do well in competition. You may be thinking, well, how do I do that? I've got all different age kids. He can compete against himself.
He can compete against the clock.
He can compete against the clock. He can compete against himself. Like in our house for many years, anytime you scored a better time mm-hmm. on like a math lesson or a fact sheet than you had on that kind of thing before, you would get a treat. And they would bust themselves up trying to get a treat. And not even something big. I mean, it might have been a couple of raisins or a gummy bear. They just wanted to win.
Now, a funny thing was the older guys would get involved in the competition, too. You know, if you got a third grader who's doing math drills, and sometimes the middle schooler or the high schooler would say, oh, can I do one, too? Because they want to race. They want to see if they can beat each other again. So that's, okay, all of that's real, and that's the way your son is wired, that he does want more light, more activity. He wants more competition, although, you know, a lot of moms... It's not just the competition. They feel like it's inducing stress.
Yeah, but you know what? You know, boys really learn better with a little bit of stress. That sounds crazy. But they enjoy it. They enjoy having the challenge. Now, if you have a boy who panics when you do that, maybe he's one of those perfectionists, you time him without telling him the first time. And then let him compete against himself. Because when he has a little success, he'll thrive. You know, one thing we probably ought to talk about, Hal, is like, writing, because a lot of moms get frustrated because their little boys are not ready. Many of them are not ready to write as early as their girls were.
Well, okay. And that's a side note on that. You know, we hear these stereotypical statements about boys doing this or doing that or not doing this, another thing at different ages. And we recognize this is all part of a spectrum. And in fact, the range of normal for boys developmentally is wider than it is for girls, I think.
Oh, I think it is.
I think it's just as normal for a boy to learn to read when he's 4 as for him to learn to read when he's 10 or 11.
Yes.
And that's all within in the spectrum.
Yes. And learning difficulties like dyslexia and things are more common in boys.
Right.
And if you have that going on, please head out to our site to the section where we talk. Go to our store and scroll down to Struggling Learners. We've got a lot of stuff there that helped us, including a CD that our dyslexic son and I did together when he was in high school that will really encourage you and your boy.
Well, look, can we go off on that just a second? I don't want to hijack the rest of the comment, but let me ask you this. What is one real clear symptom that you're dealing with dyslexia and not something else?
Okay, well, you know what? It's hard, Hal.
Yeah.
If your child recognizes a word one time,
right?
Like today he can read the word, tomorrow he can't read the word.
Yeah.
Either
yeah.
he's dyslexic or he's just not developmentally ready
okay.
to read. And so that's a big symptom of dyslexia, but sometimes you see it too in children that, like letters, if they can recognize a letter today and they can't recognize it tomorrow,
okay.
they're not developmentally ready to read.
Okay, and so what kind of discipline do you recommend?
None. That's right. Instead, you back off and read to him and wait and see if Tincture of Time will heal it.
Okay.
Now, once they get to be 8 or so, if Tincture of Time hasn't worked,
if they're just waiting
a little bit longer hasn't worked, then you need to look into other things like, are they dyslexic? Do they need additional help? And we've got a lot of resources on the site to help you with that, because we have several children who've dealt with learning disabilities. And just as a matter of encouragement, the one that has it the worst, who didn't learn to read till he was 11, he's at college on a full ride scholarship. He was freshman class president. And he's on the president's list.
He's doing great. We just didn't know that was going to happen when he was 8 or 9.
Boy,
and I just wanted to mention that so that, because I know we fumbled around a long time before we found out what we were dealing with.
Yes.
And it would have been easier to deal with earlier. We just didn't know how to recognize it.
Well, and you know, one thing that really makes a lot of moms freak out and think that it may be a problem is just that boys naturally don't develop small motor skills as early as girls do.
Like handwriting.
Now, they develop large motor skills. A lot of them can throw a ball and hit a target every time, but not the small motor skills. And so to have a boy-friendly homeschool, you want to minimize writing in those early years.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, he needs to be doing lots of reading and being read to, a lot of hands-on activities, a lot of talking about it, but he doesn't need to be filling out a lot of worksheets, answering a lot of questions and complete sentences, things like that.
Well, that's an important thing, because reading and writing are two separate functions in the brain. And you may have a child who's very precocious in his reading, but his handwriting has not kept pace with his reading ability. And that's perfectly normal as well.
Yes. So, we know how, in the second half, let's talk about some particular characteristics of boys.
Yeah.
In schooling at different ages. Want to do that?
Sure.
Okay. And if you're listening to this and you're thinking, man, this is good stuff, I need more of it, you need to read our book, Raising Real Men. You can find it at our website, raisingrealmen.com.
Well, that's easy.
Yeah, it's easy. We talk about this at length in the book. There's a whole chapter about educating boys, but there's chapters about all kinds of other things, too, like helping your boys have the right heroes and media and teaching them manners and all kinds of stuff.
Well, you know, we got started on this whole thing trying to help people who are having trouble homeschooling their sons.
Yes.
And as we started trying to, you know, unpack it and explain, well, they're just boys, and this is why they are this way, we realized, oh, it's more than just schoolwork. It's the whole personality of being a young male that a lot of times moms are struggling with.
Well, I know I did. And I grew up with a brother, but still, they just thought so differently than I did. And you know what?
Mm-hmm.
Get our book. We've raised six boys. I think it'll be really a tremendous encouragement and blessing to you. And it's an easy read. People say it's like having a conversation with us in their living room.
Right. RaisingRealMen.com.
Okay. So, hey, let's talk about different ages. So, in the early ages.
Right.
Like, we're talking preschool, kindergarten, first and second grade.
Okay.
It's important not to get them writing too early. To recognize that their small motor skills don't develop there very early.
Yeah.
It's important, even if they are very precocious and they're learning quickly, not to push them ahead too much.
Well, we stumbled over that with our first one because he was precocious in several areas. And we thought, wow, this homeschooling is awesome. And we just let him run as hard as he could go.
And he got burned out.
He got burned out because there are some developmental milestones that are, they're actually a physical development that has to happen before you can go past.
Well, yeah, exactly.
So that's the next step. But now,
in the early years,
right?
Mm-hmm. Accept the value of play. I was so eager to start homeschooling our first. I bought books when he was three, and you know we started formal schooling when he was four, and it was just too early. You know, they need those years following you around, playing with you, working with you.
Right.
Talking to you, they need that freedom to develop. They learn some powerful things that prepare them for school.
So much of life does not fit into the curriculum and doesn't go on the transcript.
Yes.
And that doesn't change as they get to their 20s either.
Right. And so you want to make sure that you don't fall into this trap of feeling like it's some kind of competition with your friends. My child learned to read. No, it doesn't matter what age they learn to read. Thomas mm-hmm. Edison didn't learn to read till he was like 10.
Right.
You know, it doesn't matter. What matters is what your child needs. And what they need in the preschool years is a lot of time to play and working alongside their parents.
Okay.
And so look for curriculum that has a lot of reading aloud,
mm-hmm.
that has a lot of different interesting books, that has hands-on stuff they can do, that will get them, that will ignite their love of learning.
And there are so many good books for that age.
Oh,
so many good classics.
Read a ton of picture books with your kids. And how on the show page, let's link to that list of our favorite picture books that's on the blog.
I'm just making a note to do that, okay?
And so read all the picture books. Get them beside you in the kitchen on a stool and cook with them. Let them chop up vegetables with a plastic knife. You know, have some fun. Enjoy it. Don't stress. Because these are precious years that you won't ever get back.
Right. Okay. And so now we got second, third grade. We're getting a little bit older kids. Okay. How does that change? What changes then?
Okay. In the late elementary school years, we need to be careful to give them enough activity to get them up and moving around in the middle of the day, to start with a protein-heavy breakfast if we don't want to have a second breakfast at 9:30.
It really does make a difference.
It does.
It does. It really, I mean, even if it's something simple like cheese toast that's got more protein than a bowl of cornflakes.
Yeah, a bowl of cornflakes, they're hungry again by 9 a.m.
Yeah, the starches, the carbohydrates just blow right through. And so
get them involved in chores at the later elementary age, regular chores where they take the whole responsibility for something.
Right.
Where they're washing laundry one day.
Age. That's easy. Yeah.
You know, where they're learning to cook. You know, typically in our home, 8 or 9 year olds can cook a whole meal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get them involved cleaning up things and having real responsibilities. because they want to at this age. If you
they're very eager.
If you wait until they're more able, they won't want to.
Well, you know, the middle school years are awkward because they're kind of in between. They're sort of neither child nor teenager, and they're sort of they don't even know who they are themselves.
Oh, and so much is going on because they're going through the hormonal roller coaster.
Oh gosh, yes.
Don't get a ride. Don't get on that roller coaster with a mama.
Right.
Okay. They're going through the hormonal roller coaster at the same time. Remember, their brains are undergoing remodeling. Now, seriously, now you know how bad remodeling is at home, where everything's torn up and nothing works right?
Pardon our dust.
Yeah, that's what their brains are doing. Seriously.
Well, and that explains a lot of why you have even precocious kids, gifted kids, kids who are just burning through all of the schoolwork, and they suddenly seem to hit a wall, and something just, the wheels come off. They go on the skids. There's something just went amok with that child.
School takes forever.
And it's simply that. Their brain is going through a transitional stage, and it doesn't work as well as it did the year before.
They really can't manage as well as they did when they were eight. You know, they need more attention. They need more supervision. They interrupt themselves. They get distracted.
Well, they're going to need more supervision, and they're going to need a lot of encouragement.
Yes, because, see, the problem is that when school hits the skids, for many boys, they're already feeling bad about themselves. They're struggling with these fears of that they go through with social anxiety and stuff during puberty and emotional stress, and they feel like they're academic failures.
Well, and this is something to caution, because, you know, I think Christian parents are very aware of the dangers of loving one child better than the other. I mean, we think about the story of Joseph and how that was a near tragedy and all the rest of that. And so we're not going to show more love or favoritism. And then we turn around and we make comparisons. Like, I don't know why you're not more like your sister.
Oh, please don't.
I don't
do
know
that.
why you can't focus like you did last year. I mean, and it really has the same effect.
It's soul killing, Hal.
It's a tough thing. So do not do this,
don't do
parents.
That.
Okay, so you need to encourage these because.
So what do you do during those stages?
What do you?
Okay, you give them more supervision. Sometimes you might need to say, "Hey, come on, sit down with me. Let me do your math with you."
Right.
And help them out. Try to be cheerful. Praise whatever you can. Find things that they're interested in and incorporate those into what they're doing in school.
Somehow their brains tend to focus on things that catch their attention rather than things that get thrown at them.
Yes, and even if it's something like Minecraft, find a way to incorporate that into the curriculum and to let them use their interest and be patient. Be patient with them, because the cool thing about it is the next stage, high school, boys come into their own academically in high school.
Well, see, here's the thing. When the remodeling is over, they're going to be able to do abstract thought. That's when they can start to do things like algebra.
Yes.
And not before.
And not before.
That's what hit us with one of our guys, that he was 2 years ahead of his age group in math, and then he got to algebra, and he couldn't get his brain around it. It's because it's a developmental step there that he had not reached. And it was just a matter of time. But at that point, he convinced himself, math is hard. I'm no good at math.
And this is why maintaining the love of learning through the middle school years is so important. Because when they get to the high school years, if they try at all, they're going to be so much more successful than they've ever been before. We have seen boys go from, I hope I can teach him to fill out an application to flip hamburgers, to reading ancient philosophers for fun in just a handful of years. And so boys come to their own academically in high school. High school is when you can get them more independent in their learning, when you can engage them in the planning, help them help plan courses. And it's amazing. High school with a boy is so much fun.
And you know what? That's part of maintaining the relationship through that preteen time, that if things go well during the middle school years, then you've got laid a good foundation for a really positive teenage time, and maybe you won't be having the same kind of fights and destructive interaction that so many people struggle with when their kids are in high school.
Yeah.
Okay. So there we go. Now that's kind of, that gets them all the way up to high school.
Yes.
College or whatever's coming next.
Well, by the time boys are in college, they're pretty much able to manage on their own. At least they ought to be.
Well, this is where those extracurricular is the wrong thing, because it sounds like sports and crafts, but the things that don't fit into a curriculum model come into play. You know,
yeah.
life skills,
responsibility,
life management, you know, planning and prioritizing and work habits and such like that. Those are things that you just don't have. You can't pick up the book to teach them how to do that. You have to work with them, walk through them. It's really about discipleship.
It is. In fact, that's really the most important part of homeschooling, period,
mm-hmm.
is discipling your kids, is really walking, doing life with them and helping them to see, you know, the beauty of the gospel and teaching them to walk with Christ, helping them to see what it looks like to be a Christian adult.
I think it's a significant thing. If you go through scriptures, there's lots of verses that pertain to education. There's lots of things that you can pull in as examples, but there's not a lot of real clear direction about the way school is done. But there's an awful lot that talks about discipleship, about learning the law of God, about learning the ways of faith, about learning to trust God. There's an awful lot about that, regardless of what kind of school
you're looking at. That's one of the things that kind of disturbs me, is I see there's a swing right now in homeschooling toward more and more focus on academics, if that means getting kids outside the house, you know, doing things that are planned by other people. And
mm-hmm.
I'm afraid that we're losing some of the focus that we need on the way that homeschooling allows us to build relationship with our kids.
That's the important thing, I believe, because how did Jesus disciple the disciples?
Yeah.
You know, how did he disciple the 12? You know, he didn't have a book that he was using. He didn't have a curriculum and testing dates and the rest of that. He lived with them, and he walked with them, and he showed them in his own life. He talked about what he was doing. He didn't just, you know, just live it and hope they figured it out, but rather he'd say, okay, this helped me do this. Do you understand what I was just saying? You know, he'd ask them questions about it, but the point being, it was a day-by-day living with the student, living with the disciple, and talking about it as you go through life. And really see, in homeschooling, that's what you've just done. You've reclaimed so many hours through the week when they'd be on the bus, or they'd be sitting in assembly, or they'd be changing classes, or they'd be sitting under somebody else's teaching. Now all of that time is back at home, back there under your control and direction, and the teachable moments can come when they will.
And you know what? You don't have to give up great academics to do it.
Right.
You know, we love academics in our house, and it's important to us, but it's not as important as the discipleship and the relationship. And so have fun in homeschooling your boys.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Read some great stuff together.
Right.
Listen to audiobooks while you're working in the house. Do projects. Have a Roman feast. Have fun. Do great things with your kids, because it's, you know, these days are precious, y'all. They'll be grown up before you know it. Half of our kids are grown up and out of our house now. And it just seems like yesterday we were making the decision to homeschool and we had one little child, Hal.
So, good advice. And so, we hope that if you are homeschooling your boy this year, that you have a boy-friendly homeschool experience.
So that you both can enjoy it.
That's right. And again, you know, get some good books for your son and get a good book for yourself. The one that we wrote called Raising Real Men, and get it at raisingrealmen.com. We think you'll find a lot of helpful stuff in it.
And if you enjoy our podcast, do a couple of things for us, would you?
Okay.
Go out to iTunes and review it, because mm-hmm. when you give it a review out there, then mm-hmm. other people are more likely to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we would love for you to go to Patreon, patreon.com/Hal and Melanie.
Mm-hmm.
And support us. Keep us going. You can sign up there to support us for $1 a month or $100 a month. Either way, you get some great insider benefits and you become a partner in our ministry.
And you know, there's one other thing too.
What?
We'd love to stay in touch with our fans out on the podcast world and everywhere else. And you can sign up for our newsletter.
Just right there on our
mailing
website.
List, go back to our website, raisingrealmen.com. There's any number of different ways you can sign up to get on our newsletter, and we would love to stay in touch with you. And we got some good freebies out there, too.
Okie doke.
Okay, well, look, we appreciate you spending the time with us. There's a lot of things you can do with your time, and we thank you for sharing some of it with us. But we hope you'll join us again as we take biblical principles and biblical truth and help you put them to practical use in a 21st century family. Okay? So until next time, I'm Hal.
And I'm Melanie.
Thanks for listening.
Bye, y'all.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HALAND. MELANIE.com. or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/Hal and Melanie or Facebook.com/Raising Real Men. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.